Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Ohio State has another big recruiting weekend ahead and has had another big recruiting week behind. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This is Talking Stuff on the Austin and Berm Show, courtesy of 97.1 The Fan. I'll be joined today by Mick Walker of LettermanRow.com. We're going to break down all the happenings in Ohio State football recruiting as a primetime game against UCLA serves as the backdrop for a big recruiting weekend in Columbus. So enough of my rambling. Let's get to Mick Walker and Letterman Row of Letterman Row right now on Talking Stuff. Mick Walker of LettermanRow.com joins me now. Mick, happy Friday. How are you? What's going on in your neck of the woods this week?
Not much. Just a nice relaxing Friday before we have a night game in the shoe on Saturday night. So just relaxing, really, Berm, talking to you, which is the most relaxing thing I get to do, honestly.
Wow, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Hey, before we go into this week's topics, let's just knock out. I saw on the LettermanRow.com message board, you had posted in our 2026 predictions discussion thread that we were going to answer a question from a subscriber there. So did you pick one?
I did not. I'm pulling it up right now. I just did this on the fly here. So let's see what somebody came up with. We have somebody here. Oh, man, there's a lot of questions, bro. Did you get a chance to look at any of these yet?
Nope. I saw you post, and then I like to go in blind to those types of things. So I didn't want to read anymore.
Okay, we'll go into this because I think it can delve into a couple of things maybe down the line as well. Do you believe the staff is happy with their current 2026 offensive line class as constructed, or are they still looking for a sixth man?
I think that the answer to both of those questions is yes. Obviously, you would like to, if you're Ohio State, have a little bit of more star power, I think, especially on the national front. But you also need to be extremely careful about where you're spending your money in this NIL era. And the Buckeyes have a five-star talent in Sam Greer. They've got a couple players in Tucker Smith and Max Riley that they evaluated early and really fell in love with early. And then you've added two key pieces in the last month with Landry Breed and Mason Wilhelm, who are flexible guys who can play multiple spots. You've got the Ohio ties, which I think a lot of Buckeyes fans are always wanting for offensive linemen. I think we've seen that bear itself out time after time, that in-state kids who maybe are a little bit more willing to be patient and a little bit more willing to stick it out for a couple of years before they are, you know, thinking about going anywhere else. I think that's what you want. I think they would still like another one, though. That's the question we're going to try to get into over these next 3 weeks before the early signing period in December. Who's the most likely guy to be that guy? I still think Deron Parks down in Nitro, West Virginia, is someone to pay attention to, the Florida State commit. And, you know, Kevin Brown seems like he's off the board right now. That seems like it's going to end up with a flip to West Virginia, or maybe not even a flip to West Virginia. I think he's just going to, like, be committed there and then sign there in 3 weeks or something if Penn State doesn't have a coach. So I think he's playing it pretty smart. But, yeah, I think they still want another one, Mick. And I don't know if there's any names you've heard, but again, Deron Parks is the one that I keep coming back to.
I mentioned his name at the end of last week. Mason Wilhelm was the name I had heard. Obviously, that happened Thursday night. He got the offer. He committed on Friday. I think talking to
all. Yeah, that happened, 45 minutes after we finished recording this show. So
yeah, we were driving to West Lafayette. I think the plan originally was to offer him and maybe get him on campus this weekend, kind of get to wine and dine him a little bit more and then get him to commit. Mason didn't want to wait on that. Didn't want to wait for the pomp and circumstance of it all. So he just went ahead, flipped his commitment. That was the name I had heard. And I imagine there's other than those guys, when you look at having Landry Breed, Maxwell Riley, like Sam Breer, that's, and Mason Wilhelm, that's four of the best offensive linemen in the state. So I don't know if there's any guys around here that you could really look at. There's a gentleman, I believe, from Fort Wayne Bishop Lures High School. He's a three-star kid. I think Purdue had been on him pretty hard. He got an offer from Oklahoma last weekend. I'd have to look up who he is, but maybe that type of guy who's kind of late rising, like a DeJuan Jones was years back, that's kind of late rising at the end of the cycle. Maybe you try and see if you can get him on campus for the Rutgers game, or if he pushes his commitment into February, maybe you try and get him on campus in January and see how that rolls.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time of the year. Ohio State doing everything they can to fill out the class the way that they want it. We've talked ad nauseum on this show in the last couple of weeks about the size of this class and how much bigger it feels like it's going to get. And I asked Ryan Day about that on Tuesday if they've taken a new philosophy based on the fact that the transfer portal is now down to the one window. And he said, yeah, basically that they are expecting to be playing into the end of January. And if that's the case, you're not going to have a chance to refill the roster when it comes to losing guys to the portal. So the Buckeyes are getting a little bit more aggressive in the high school ranks, and that's where things are. That's why this weekend against UCLA seems like it's shaping up to be a much bigger weekend than anybody anticipated. But before we get into that, let's just talk about what has happened in the last week. We saw Ohio State, as we just talked about, adding Mason Wilhelm, the in-state offensive lineman, legacy recruit. His father, Matt, played at Ohio State on the 2002 National Championship team and has been around the program since. I remember 2 years ago at summer camp, one of the June camps when Mason was there. This was right when he was starting to take on the development in the offensive line for St. Ed's. He was really good that day, and talking to Matt about it, he said, hey, you know, I think there's a chance for him here. We'll keep working. We'll keep swinging. And Mason did everything he could. And, you know, I think the best thing is when these kids have an opportunity, like North Carolina. I know people are going to scoff or laugh and say like, oh, well, that's that program's a disaster right now or a train wreck. But if you look around the country, there's a lot of kids committing to North Carolina, and there's still, and if they're committed to Bill Belichick, then you're going to see kids wanting to go there. And Mason had a great opportunity, but Ohio State was what he wanted. And it's just a good reminder for Tyler Bowen how he operates. Like he is staying in touch with these kids and making sure that they know that even if they're committed elsewhere, that he's still watching, he's still evaluating. And that's an approach that's really worked well with Landry Breed and Mason Wilhelm. That was last Friday for Mason. It was, 2 days later that Ohio State ended up adding Emmanuel Ruffin on Sunday. And then it was Monday or Tuesday for Legend Bay. Which day was that? It's all running together. I think it was Tuesday.
Monday. We weren't together when that happened. And most Tuesdays were together.
Monday. So it's been a really good couple of weeks for Ohio State. You added Jay Timmons, who we talked about last week. They've really started to take advantage of the chaos in other schools and other programs. And as it sits, Ohio State has moved up to the number 7 ranked class in the country. That's up 2 spots from where they were a week ago. And they are right on the heels of Texas A&M to move into the number 6 spot. So when the Buckeyes get on the board again in the class of 2026, provided that nothing has happened at A&M, they may very well move up into 6. And I think that it's a reminder of how Ohio State's approach may not always feel the most immediately gratifying for people, but it is a program that has a pretty good idea of what they want to do and how they want to do it. And Ryan Day has not allowed that to change. And so here we sit. It is November the 14th. Ohio State has 25 commitments, and there are a lot of other possibilities out there for the Buckeyes. Mick, is there anybody in this class right now, before we start talking about this weekend's visitors? Like, I'm curious from your perspective, who's the guy that is like the most underrated, least appreciated member of this Ohio State class right now in your mind?
Oh, that's a great question. I've seen him in person this season, so I'm going to go with this guy. And I think if we ask the Ohio State coaching staff, they'd say he's not really underrated. I think they took care of him when it comes to the financial aspect, and they love him as a prospect. But I'll go Damari Simeon, the defensive lineman from New Jersey. Saw him the night before the Texas game, and he was just wrecking shop there for against Canton McKinley in the Hall of Fame Stadium. So that's the guy I would go with. I've also been a big fan of Jordan Thomas since I saw him last year. I love these New Jersey guys that come out to Ohio and play football in Ohio for a game, so I get to see them. Those are the two guys I would go with.
My question about Simeon is the size. I know he's listed at 6'2", 275. When we've seen him, I think he looks closer to my height, which, just under 6'1", just about. So it is interesting to see how that translates to the college football. But obviously what he does on film is really impressive, really quick, good get off, a kid that really does some things. I love CJ Santa, like the linebacker at Olentangy. Like, I just think he's one of those local kids who got an offer, committed right away. Nobody really talks about him. I just think he's one of those players that people are going to love at Ohio State. He reminds me a lot of Peyton Pierce, and that is just my type of football player.
I think we need to give a hat tip too to our guy Tucker Smith. I'm surprised you didn't go there as well.
I was thinking about it.
The awesome thing about Tucker Smith, and Burn can back this up, every time he's visited Ohio State, I believe that we've seen him in on campus or in the shoe for a game or the spring or whatever, he shows up backwards hat in a pair of jeans every single time. Texas game, spring game, any opportunity comes in, he looks like he's coming from not Arizona, like not from like a suburb of Arizona, more like he's coming from like Montana. And he just looks like what you would want an offensive line prospect to look like. And it's just awesome every time.
Yeah, he's always got a mean look on his face too. I looked that about Tucker, but he's a really nice kid. So anyway, there's a lot of things happening. That's the bottom line here. We're going to dive into this weekend's visitors. Right now, Ohio State is hosting UCLA, and that game against the Bruins will serve as the backdrop for four official visitors to Ohio State. Let's break them down one by one, Mick, starting with Dre Quinn, the defensive end from Buford High School in Georgia. This is a kid that was committed to Clemson for a while. He's been linked to Texas. He's been linked to Tennessee, Miami, Georgia Tech, everywhere else. But yet, I think Ohio State is in a position heading into this weekend where if they can just do, I don't want to say do the bare minimum, but if they do what's expected, if they do what they normally do on an official visit, I feel like there's an opportunity for the Buckeyes to close this down, and that the trips that he has planned to Tennessee and Texas in the next 2 weeks may not need to happen. Do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. I've said it again. I think I've said this on the talks on talking stuff before, but ever since I met Dre right after they offered him last January, I thought that he would be a great fit at Ohio State personality wise. Seems like he felt that as well for his visit for the Minnesota game. And I think if you can do that again, as always, if you get the modern recruiting, as Steve Wilfong likes to call it, or just the financial aspect in line, I think things to go well here for Ohio State. And maybe I'm wrong, Burn, but it feels like if they were able to check off the blocks of another edge, you really look at this class, and while it may not have like 6-5 stars in it, you look at it and there's no real holes. Because at this point, the past couple of additions have been, oh, you got your second cornerback, but other than that, you've got four defensive tackles now. You've got the Drake going back to a Jerquaden Guilford in the summer. You got five wide receivers. You've got a couple running backs now. Like, they've done a lot of luxury things. Now you really just need to fill that last need, which is edge. And I guess if you want to continue with it, it's tight end, which we'll talk about at some point as well.
Yeah. So the thing with Dre Quinn, I think, is interesting is that, again, there are visits planned to Texas for an unofficial visit next week. And then he's supposed to be at Tennessee on November 29th for an official visit there. Chad Simmons from Rivals had an update with Dre Quinn 2 days ago. And this is why it stuck in my head that I think that there's an opportunity here for Ohio State if they can really roll out the red carpet, make sure that all their T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted this weekend. It's this. He said, where did it go? I'm trying to read it. I'm not sure yet about my commitment timeline. It could be next week or closer to signing day. I'd like to commit sooner, but I'm not going to rush it. When you say it could be next week, doesn't that indicate that there's a thought for Dre Quinn heading into this weekend that if things go the way that he hopes or believes, that he thinks that this might be the last trip he needs to take? Because that's how I read it.
Yeah, and we've seen that with Ohio State this fall already. Like, Jay Timmons took his official visit, and a few days later, I think you were even saying, hey, you texted me, or whether you said it on a podcast, we need to start getting stuff ready for Jay Timmons to flip to Ohio State in the immediate aftermath of that, obviously. Same thing kind of with Legend Bay. It came about a week or so later, but still, Ohio State has had a good track record this season of getting these guys on campus for official visits, getting them give the full pitch, all that time with the coaching staff and making sure everything's aligned, and then trying to get the commitment shortly thereafter. And the important thing to note there is he's already taken the official visit to Texas, and I believe he's already taken the official visit to Tennessee. So of the next three official visits, obviously there's rules that people will break on these official visits or unofficial visits and make them nicer than they probably should be. But of these next three visits, Ohio State should by far have the nicest and the most luxurious to kind of get him over the hump and maybe get him in this class.
Yeah, the quote to Chad Simmons from Rivals says that he is taking an official visit to Tennessee on the 29th. We'll see. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if it needs to happen. What's interesting is that Dre Quinn will not be the only defensive lineman in the building on Saturday or on the visit this weekend. That is also Darius McKinley from Louisiana coming up for an official visit. Now, as Mick already said, the Buckeyes have four defensive tackles committed, and yet they're bringing in another one here with Darius McKinley. And it feels to me as though that there is an ulterior motive in bringing him up here. Because, see, last week, the conversation was prior to Emmanuel Ruffin committing on Sunday that the Buckeyes were going to host J.J. Finch from Indianapolis this weekend on an official visit. Darius McKinley was not included on that list. The Buckeyes, after adding Emmanuel Ruffin, decided that they didn't need to bring in Jeremy Finch for an official visit, and yet they're still bringing in Darius McKinley for an official visit. And the only reason that one can surmise that you would do that, Mick, is if you have eyes on Dominic McKinley, Darius's older brother, who Ohio State recruited in the class of 2024 and who signed with LSU, which is right now a dumpster fire, doesn't have a coach, doesn't know what they're doing with their athletic department. The governor of Louisiana is telling them how to call plays. I don't know what's going on at LSU, but I do feel like it opens up a door for Ohio State if players are leaving that program to maybe get a 2-for-1 here. And that's funny because there was a lot of discussion about a 2-for-1 type of situation with the recruitment of Amari Latimer, the running back from Georgia that Ohio State hosted for an official visit on the Minnesota weekend. There was thought that maybe you'd bring in his brother as well, because his brother is at Wisconsin. And the Buckeyes seemed to be reluctant to do that at corner or in the secondary, but that does not appear to be the case right now, because I think the only reason you bring in Darius McKinley is if you are believing that there's an opportunity to make a whole family switch.
And they recruited Dominic McKinley very hard in 2024? I believe he's played there at LSU for 2 years. They recruited him very hard, and I don't know if we could say finish runner-up, but they were probably in that next group right behind LSU. That's a big one, and you don't want to discredit Darius either. He's a very good player. He's a top 500 player. He's had a productive senior season, and as we've seen this year with kind of the defensive line depth and the questions coming into the season, obviously Will Smith has developed, Taiwan Malone has developed, so the need and the desire to have more defensive tackle depth isn't as large anymore. But if you take five defensive linemen in the class instead of when they took one and Eric Mensa a couple years ago, you have more opportunities for guys to hit. I think Emmanuel Ruffin's very good. I think Damar Simeon's very good. I think Jameer Perez and Cam Brickwell, if they're on their top game, can be very good for Ohio State. And then if you add Darius McKinley into that mix, that gives you five guys developing for years to come. But then you throw in the Dom McKinley situation, you have likely at this point, it seems like Caden McDonald is headed towards the NFL because he's just ascending up draft boards, it seems like, from the outsider perspective, from the mock draft perspective. So then you need more talented defensive linemen to play next year. And that's where Dominic McKinley helps in the immediate. Darius McKinley helps kind of in the long term when you lose Edric Houston or even Will Smith or Taiwan Malone down the line.
Now, it's a lot easier to have success in recruiting if you just bring in a lot more players. I mean, that's the reality. And now Ohio State understands that there are trade-offs for that, especially when it comes to the transfer portal, because you don't have unlimited roster spots and the rosters are shrinking, as Ryan Day talked about on Tuesday. But you need big bodies. You need guys that can do things. And Darius McKinley, 6'3", 275 pounds. He's a guy that you think about probably ends up as a 6'3", 300 pounder in college. And all of a sudden, you've just got more beef there in the middle. And that's what the Buckeyes are wanting. That is Matt Patricia's recipe to a T. They want big bodies in the middle of that defensive line. And so the more of them you can bring in, the better. We'll see how that goes with Darius McKinley. He is committed to LSU. Again, who knows what happens there in Baton Rouge. At linebacker, it's Braxton Rembert from Hoshton, Georgia, Mill Creek High School, the alma mater of Caleb Downs. He is a Wake Forest commit coming up to visit Ohio State for the first time this weekend, offered by James Laurinaitis about a month ago, and a player that, from a ranking standpoint, is not going to blow anyone away, but the 6'5", 200-pound frame, 81-inch wingspan, All-State-type basketball player, like, this is a freaky athlete, and the Buckeyes are going to lose two freaky athletes at linebacker after this season, and they just want to, again, similar to the conversation about defensive tackle, like, you just have to replace guys. You just have to have bodies, and the Buckeyes trust their development so much that it's okay in their eyes to take a player that you know is going to need 2 years of development, like Braxton Rembert will, because you have him complemented by Sincere Johnson and CJ Sanna. And of course, you also have Peyton Pierce and Riley Pettijohn and TJ Alford and Garrett Stover and other guys still on the roster. So it is interesting because Rembert, again, is committed to Wake Forest. He's not a guy that was moving up. He's not a guy that was highly sought after by other programs over the last couple months. But James Laurinaitis apparently really liked his film and really liked the size and athleticism. Just the profile alone makes him worth a look. you've talked to Rembert. I think we both have talked to him pretty frequently. Seems like a kid who is very interested in Ohio State, but also doesn't want to get too excited yet until he gets on campus.
I think he's also a loyal kid. Like, he got the Ohio State offer and went to Wake Forest the week after. I think that visit was already scheduled. But he wants to be respectful of Wake Forest. This is a school that took a chance on him, and now he's committed there. The Demon Deacons are bowl eligible. But again, this is Ohio State, the number one team in the country, headed to the college football playoffs, likely headed playing for another national championship if all goes well for him. And if from Ohio State's perspective, I think everybody wants to say that Sincere Johnson is this next Arvell Reese, that he's going to be able to do a lot of these similar things. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I would view Sincere Johnson more of in a Sonny Styles mold, where he's going to actually be more of a traditional middle linebacker type of guy than he will be on the edge doing some of that stuff. And I don't even think CJ Santa, despite the fact how much you and I like him, is in that same mold of being able to do edge stuff as well. So then that's where you get Braxton Rembert, who's a little bit taller, a little bit longer, who can kind of, if you max his body out, can justify playing on the edge a little bit, where I think CJ and Sincere would be swallowed up a little bit more. So that's where I think the need comes in, is trying to fill this kind of specific role that you've realized is very nice to have in this defense with the Arvell Reese. And then when you get a guy that's as talented as Braxton Rembert, you get a guy like him who fits the program perspective. I imagine when he gets here, he'll really enjoy all the different aspects they have for all the players in the program. I think it will be a seamless fit. I think we could see something move fast once he gets up here, but it's just about getting him up here so he can see it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this in the past with guys like Gabe Van Sickle. When they're committed to other programs, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to be respectful. Once you get to campus at Ohio State and that other program knows that you're actually there and they know that you've actually decided to follow through with the official visit, they can kind of read the writing on the wall, I think, and know that, well, Ohio State's in a little bit of a different world than Wake Forest. And I think even if Braxton Rembert ends up in this class for Ohio State, that there's probably a need to go get a more ready-to-go edge type stand-up edge rusher doing the things that Arvell has done this year for Ohio State in the transfer portal. So I don't think it like eliminates that need or the perspective that you might be interested in, like Chaz Coleman if he enters the transfer portal, or obviously Dylan Stewart, guys like that that are unicorns you're going to go after no matter what. But this is really more about, for Ohio State, building the roster for 3 years from now as opposed to next year when it comes to a guy like Braxton Rembert. That conversation is kind of in the middle ground, I think, when it comes to CJ Brana, the Florida commitment at corner from Windermere High School in Winter Garden, Florida. CJ is making his official visit to Ohio State. From what I've heard from folks on the Florida side, they are not really happy that he's taking this trip, and they've tried over the last couple of weeks to get him to not take it, but it's happening, and you can't blame a kid for doing that when the program doesn't have a coach. So we'll see what the approach is for Ohio State, but CJ Brana is a four-star corner. He is the number 17 ranked cornerback in the country, top 125 overall player in the Rivals industry ranking. Like, this is the type of guy who, if Ohio State can make it happen, like, this is a coup this late in the cycle for sure. Other than the fact that Florida doesn't have a coach and you don't know where the program is going, what is it about this recruitment, Mick, that you think gives Ohio State a real chance? Anything that you can pinpoint?
I think Tim Walton's just a genuine relationship builder, and it seems like he's kind of been working this one for a while. Went down, saw him during the second off week, and I imagine that's when things really picked up. That's when the offer went out. And so once you get that factored in, like, again, you mentioned the not Florida not having a coach or being kind of in limbo there, then you have stability at Ohio State. You have the potential to develop when you have Jermaine Matthews, Davis, and Igbenosin, who have all improved while they've been in Columbus. And Ohio State has a need at that position. Like, even if you think, I imagine he knows of Devin Sanchez, he knows the guys that have been brought in before him. But still, if you're a guy like CJ Brown, I assume, who's a good track athlete, who's a good football player, a confident guy, you come in and assume that you can play at Ohio State relatively early. He's got a lot of traits. He's got a lot of things, like, got a lot of skill. And I was thinking of this take when we planned out the show earlier. I think if you were able to flip CJ Brana from Ohio State's perspective, the cornerback class, and like, of those three guys, might be the strongest position group in the class if you're able to complete that.
Yeah, which is pretty nuts, all things considered, because 3 weeks ago, it was one of the spots where you're like, ooh, there's got to be something happening here. And it could end up with three really, really good top 150 overall prospects at the position. And see, you know, it's something where Tim Walton is very patient. He's deliberate in his approach. And again, as more and more colleges around the country every year, maybe not next year because there's been so many coaching changes this year, but like when the chaos happens elsewhere and those avalanches start to occur, like Ohio State's always in a position to take advantage of that and capitalize on it. I think what we will see is a decision for CJ Brana eventually that will come down to the stability and reliability of Ohio State, the opportunity to play for championships versus Florida going to be offering him a little bit more money than Ohio State. So,
well, and I think we've talked about this with Kevin Brown, but like the aspect of Florida, Penn State, all these coaches that have fired their head coaches in season, you're entering to a point, especially if you're Florida and you want to get like a Lane Kiffin, who's probably going to be coaching the college football playoff. When these guys have to sign or when they feel like they need to sign during the early signing period, there will not be a head coach in place. They'll be signing to a program. They'll be like, and obviously all fans would like to be like, they're committing to Ohio State. They're not committing to Ryan Day or Brian Hartline or any of these aspects, but it is very hard to sign to a program without a head coach. And so I think that's why you see CJ Brana being like, I need to look at Ohio State more seriously. Full transparency, if he signs with Ohio State and Florida gets a new head coach, he could transfer this December. He could transfer a year from now if he really wanted to still end up at Florida. So it really doesn't change anything. It just puts him in a better starting spot. Maybe it puts him in the best spot going forward, or maybe it just gives him a different place to start.
Yeah, and the reality is that he could just stay committed to Florida now if he wanted to. And so he has not reopened his recruitment entirely. Ohio State, he told Alex Gleitman of Letterman Row that Ohio State and Florida are the only schools he's considering. So if you're the Gators, you feel like, hey, this isn't bad. It could be worse. And then all of a sudden you see him visiting Ohio State and you're like, well, that's the worst. Okay, so that's the one place you really don't want him to go. Ohio State and Georgia and Alabama are like still those programs where you're like, oh, gosh, I hope they don't visit there. So we'll see. I think it's going to be an opportunity for Ohio State to make a real coup here. Like I said, there's really no other word for it if you can get CJ Brown in this class. So it'll be interesting to see how that relationship unfolds this weekend. Those are the four official visitors coming to Ohio State for the UCLA game. There are a number of other players in the class of 2026 that should be in town, including Blaine Bradford, who will be making his way back to campus for the Buckeyes. And most importantly to me, I think, is the addition of Landry Breed, Mason Wilhelm, Sam Greer, and Max Riley all together. Those guys are all enrolling early. This is their first weekend to really hang out together as a group. And I imagine all four of those guys will be living together in 7 weeks from now. So it's a good idea to really start building that relationship. And Mick, and we generally aren't talking here about preferred walk-on options or players that Ohio State hasn't offered to this point, but I'm interested in this weekend's visit of safety RJ Holland, Rayshon Holland from Pick Central. Because I've always been fascinated by him as a player, back even to his freshman year. I remember, you know, seeing him a couple of years ago and thinking, hey, that kid might have some stuff to him. And it hasn't really developed the way that I would have thought. You know, but there's a conversation, I think, with RJ and also like Amari Miller at Pick North, where like you've got some guys locally that if you can get them into the program, they might be someone to know down the road. Because Who's the kid at Pitt from Pick Central?
Rasheem Biles.
Rasheem Biles, who I was very high on and when he was going through his recruitment. And I thought Ohio State should have offered him when they were bringing in Sonny Styles as well. They didn't, and now he's playing really, really well for the Panthers. So you just never know when you get these local guys in town. I just wanted to say his name because he is making a visit this weekend. He has not been on campus for a visit in a while, but they're bringing him in, and that's only done for a couple of reasons. And one of them is he's either super bored, which is not the case, or Ohio State's considering whether or not he has an opportunity to fill a spot as a PWO. And I'm always a big fan of local kids being preferred walk-ons like that who have offers elsewhere.
They had a couple of them come in this offseason. I don't think they were recruits, but former guys that went to MAC schools that just didn't feel like, or Division II or Division III schools that J.J. Siebert, Omar Ja, I think the Owen Tangi Pick North guys, respectively, they come in and they want to be parts of the program. I don't think either of them have played or like any level of football for Ohio State this season, but would you rather have those guys or would you rather just not have those roster spots filled or guys to practice with? So you bring in some of these local guys that you think want to be Buckeyes and then are willing to go through the work and deal with all the different crap that has to go on for them during the practice week. And now you have some guys that are invested in the program.
Yeah, I mean, again, RJ Holland has offers from Michigan State, Marshall, Illinois, Minnesota. Like, it's not a guy that you generally would consider a preferred walk-on, but you just never know because he's visiting this weekend for a reason. So someone else who is visiting this weekend for a reason is Brock Williams, the 2027 tight end from Libertyville, Illinois, the number one target at the position for the Buckeyes in the class of 2027. What, Mick? What?
I was thinking, did you consider it to be B rock and roll or was it always Brock and roll?
Brock and roll.
Let's Brock and roll and talk about Brock Williams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just love puns.
Straight
for
up.
Those of you who are not watching this and you're listening to it on your preferred podcast platform, the overlay on the screen says Brock and roll. So that's why Mac was asking me about that. There's a visit to Texas coming up next week for Brock, and then he's done until he makes his decision sometime in December. This visit for Ohio State feels like the opportunity. Brady Edmonds coming into town to spend time with him. These two are very, very close. It feels like one of the commitments, one of the players that will define the 2027 class, which is kind of nuts to say that already, because here we are, it's over a year until those players are able to sign and officially be Buckeyes. But I feel like Brock Williams, as much as we've talked about, we don't talk about tight ends that darn much, okay? Like the regular recurring conversation about this tight end is indicative of how important he is to Ohio State. So finding a way to seal the deal here this weekend feels like it's pretty vital for the Buckeyes and for Keenan Bailey.
We talked about it when I went up there during the first off week. I drove up to Illinois, spent time with Brock Williams, and I asked him about, we talked in length about his visit for the Texas game, talked about how that went, seeing him play all those tight ends, the 14 personnel type of stuff. And at the end of it, as you and I almost always do, is say, are you playing another visit to Ohio State? He goes, not really. I have the Georgia one planned out. I have the Texas one planned out. He goes, but if Brady does come up again for another game, because Brady was supposed to come, Brady Edmonds, the Ohio State quarterback commit, was supposed to come for the Texas game. If he does come up for another game, I will look at that because I want to visit with Brady. Brady's team lost in the playoffs last week. Now Brady's available to come up to a game. You have a night game too, which works out even more. I think there was some discussion about maybe doing this for the Penn State game, but the noon game and all that type of stuff, you're still playing, kind of nixed that. And now you have this game where I think, honestly, more than spending time with Keenan Bailey or even getting around Nate Roberts or some of these guys he knows at Ohio State, he just wanted to get around Brady Edmonds for another game. And it's a pretty decently easy drive to get down here from Libertyville. So that's where you get him up here. And I think I liked your bold prediction on the channel earlier about getting Nate Roberts a touchdown to kind of pitch that to Brock Williams. I think that makes a lot of sense. Not only are you getting around Brady, though, you get around Kellen Weimer, who I think even did it on the talking stuff with you. It really talked about, you know, messing with the other guys that are there, talking to him, trying to build a relationship. Mason Wilt will also be there. Like a lot of different things. I think
Jameer Brown will be there.
Jameer Brown, there's an opportunity to really build this offensive class that's already kind of coming together. And we'll talk about that more because it seems like this 2027 class is starting to really roll. But the next real inflection point, I feel like you've talked about, whether it's this class kind of make or break a little bit out of position, is Brock Williams at tight end.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few players. Brock Williams is one. David Gabriel Georges is another in the class of 27 that you look at and you're like, if those guys are in this class, then it's going to be a success. And Ohio State is so reluctant to like spotlight a player this early in the process. They don't really want to be all in on one guy at this point because it seems like it's a risk if you don't get him. But with a commitment coming in less than a month for Brock Williams, like it is go time for Keenan Bailey and the Buckeyes. And again, as you said, like having Brady Edmonds in town and making sure that those two are getting to spend more time together is a big part of this. They really do have a good relationship, and that's something where I think that it's an advantage for Ohio State that other schools can't. Like Georgia does a lot of good things with the tight end. Everyone knows that. Texas has also become a program that uses the tight end a lot. Ohio State has been using the tight end more than anybody in the country, but you also then have the relationship with Keenan Bailey and the relationship with Brady Edmonds, and I think that can be enough for Ohio State to win this fight over this next month. So looking forward to...
Ohio State's also the only school he will visit twice this season. I think there was some discussion about maybe going back to Georgia this weekend when they host Texas because he's considering both schools. But I think obviously you're a big comfort in relationships, the car, like follow the visits type of thing before the NIL became a factor. I don't know how large a factor that is for Brock. I really don't think it's up there on his priority list. So when you consider that, you follow the comfort relationship and you follow the visits. Obviously, I think you and I would both say Ohio State's probably in the lead spot for Brock Williams heading into this visit. And now it feels like you really have the opportunity to kind of close this one down.
Yeah, I mean, because being in the lead right now, which is, and Brock's not saying that publicly or anything, but I mean, he is obviously acknowledging that it is a very tight race at the top with Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas. But the fact is, he just visited Georgia, and they're not the team that's like all of a sudden surging. We haven't seen a rash of predictions being put in the Bulldogs' favor or anything like that. So I think that that is telling as far as what we think can happen over the next month. So let's talk other big names coming into town for the weekend. Mick, we've got a list of 2027s and 2028s that are actually pretty good. Again, better maybe than expected or anticipated, considering it's the UCLA game, but the fact that it turned into an evening contest opened the door for some guys to make it to town. Let's start, if we can, with offensive line, because I do think it's tightening up in that class already, which is unexpected. We saw this week that just passed the number of predictions, commitments coming in for, or prediction commitment predictions coming in for Brody McNeil, a four-star lineman from Virginia. Brody told me that he's talking to his family and trying to get to campus this weekend. He was actually on campus last Sunday because he was in Dayton visiting his sister, who was a volleyball player for the Flyers. So he's considering coming back this weekend. As we record this, it's 11:45 on Friday morning. He said he would let me know if that's going to happen or not. So he's a maybe, but there are other guys like Dewey Young from Kalamazoo, Michigan, who's already visited Ohio State a month ago, and he's coming back now. He picked up an offer on that first visit when he was in town for the Minnesota game. And then you got Jackson Roper coming in from Colorado, who is a highly ranked interior lineman as well. But with Mason Wilt and Kellen Weimer committed, you've got two ostensibly guards. I think there's a chance Kellen Weimer could develop into a tackle down the road, but right now they're guards. You have the looming Brody McNeil conversation, because those commitment predictions don't happen in a vacuum. They happen for a reason. And then, of course, Ohio State, who hosted Reed Ramsier for the Penn State game. He's now, like Hayes Fawcett of Rivals posted that Ohio State and Alabama are his top two right now. He's got a lot of Ohio ties. Like, I think that there's some potential movement there soon as well. Like, this class is getting pretty tight.
Yeah, there's Davis Seaman, the Bishop Watterson standouts, and then Khalil Johnson from Archbishop Moeller down in Cincinnati. So that's two in-state guys that we haven't, like, there's four in-state offers out. Two of them already been taken by Kellen Weimer and Mason Wilt. And then, like you said, then you get into Reed Ramsey, an out-of-state guy, Brody McNeil, who's an out-of-state guy, Dewey Young from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Like, Michigan hasn't offered. I think he's visited there already. This will be his second trip down to Michigan, or down to Ohio State. Honestly, I'm just interested in him because I think if he were to commit to Ohio State, Brum would actually let me come up to Kalamazoo with him, and we could do a cool guys trip. So that's shout out to Dewey Young. But then the fourth guy you mentioned there, or I don't know if he's fourth or well, the other name you mentioned there was Jackson Roper. And I got a list this morning from Ohio State. I think you and I kind of do a similar thing of who are the names, who are the guys that you really like are excited to see on campus this weekend. And it had four names on it, and two of them on the defensive side three of them were on the defensive side we'll talk about later. The fourth was Jackson Roper, and I think Ohio State's just kind of excited to get him on campus for the first time. Charlie Dickey, who's recruited that Colorado, Oklahoma, like Kansas, like type of region area in the past before, he's built a good relationship with them. Tyler Bowen as well. So this class really gets interesting when you factor in Brody McNeil, Reed Ramsier, Mark Matthews, the five-star offensive tackle, was on campus for the Penn State game. The list of names is very wide, and you probably, even if you take five or six offensive linemen, you're down to a handful of spots already with two guys in.
Yeah, and that's not even mentioning Jimmy Kalis, who's in Pittsburgh, who his sister goes to Ohio State. So the interesting thing to me is that you've got Ramsey, who's from Ohio. You've got Brody McNeil, who's got Ohio ties, whose mom is from Dayton. You've got Jimmy Kalis, who's like in Pittsburgh, but family very, very connected to Ohio State. And he's visited 13 times or something this year. So it's an interesting time. Tyler Bowen's approach is decidedly different than Justin Fry's was. A lot more guys on the list, a lot more guys that he's actively recruiting. And so when that happens, you start to see people be ready to make moves earlier. So defensively, Ohio State will host a Middletown, Ohio defensive tackle Jaden Davis this weekend. It's a potential offer in the state of Ohio. I don't know that he's an offer early, probably a guy that has to come back and camp again next summer. But he's an interesting player. We've got Abraham Cisse from Pennsylvania.
Downingtown, let me get this one correct. It's the opposite of whatever one.
Downingtown West?
He goes to Downingtown East. I believe Will Howard went to West.
Okay, so big-time edge athlete in the 2027 class. And then at linebacker, I'm kind of interested in this group, Mick. You've got Blake Betton coming from Minnesota, who is a player that James Laurinaitis was – ironically, when we were at the Illinois game in Champaign a month ago, Blake Betton was supposed to visit that day in Champaign, and members of the Ohio State coaching staff asked us if we could find him to get eyes on him and see what he looked like. So he's visiting this weekend and has not received an Ohio State offer yet, but being a Minnesota kid who grew up 30 minutes from where James Laurinaitis grew up, there's a weird little bit of a connection there. And then linebacker AJ Randall from North Carolina. He's a player that I've heard the name of multiple times in the last 2 months from Ohio State. Very, very intrigued by his athleticism. His mother is an All-American sprinter in college, like a very, very elite athletic family. And I think that that's one that I will see, you'll see Ohio State get aggressive with in the next couple of weeks. Not like pushing for a commitment or anything, but the Buckeyes are going to become involved in that recruitment in a much bigger way after this visit happens for him. Ohio State has already offered, but it is like when you offer someone who's never been on campus and you haven't really had a chance to connect with personally, it's sort of just a lukewarm, hey, we're interested in you. Once you actually get on campus and they can get to know who you are, get to know your family, we'll see that really take off, I think. And I there's a world where Ohio State ends up with a pair of North Carolina linebackers in the 27 class in my mind. So with Quentin Cypher, who's going to be making a decision here in the next couple of weeks as well. So it's an interesting week. And then obviously in the secondary, it's the one we're kind of burying the lead a little bit here, but it is the return of Eli Johnson from Cibolo Steel High School in Texas, number 9 ranked safety in the country. I don't know when it changed, Mick, but I looked yesterday morning, Thursday morning, at Eli Johnson's profile, and he was the number 10 ranked safety in the country. And I looked like in the afternoon to go back and get some information, and he was the number 9 ranked safety in the country. So I haven't checked today. I guess there's a chance he's up to number 8. I don't know how he moved yesterday, but he did. This feels like a big weekend for Eli and the Buckeyes. Oklahoma, Texas, Michigan at the top of the list for him alongside Ohio State, but if this is a priority target for McCrary.
Yeah, a couple of rivals on prediction machine picks have gone in for Eli Johnson from Steve Wilfong and Sam Spiegelman, who I think you and I both really respect and trust whenever they have something to say on recruiting. So that's fascinating. He was also one of the four guys. Him and AJ Randall were two of the other four guys on the list of names I got as just, hey, we're going to kind of go all in on these guys, really give them a lot of time this weekend. The fourth was George Parkinson, and it's hard to get really excited about. We've talked about it before. 2028 recruiting is not super interesting at this time, but George Parkinson's a guy from Malvern Prep that Ohio State really liked. He camped at Ohio State this summer. And then you have Jermaine Smith from St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. He's another top 100 2028 defensive lineman. Jackson Vaughn was on the list I received. He's a 4-star from Bergen Catholic. I think he's near 5-star type of guy. So that's a really hot, like a good 2028 defensive line group. And then another guy on the defensive line that we didn't get to mention was Makai Brown from like Greenwich, Connecticut. And I think whenever Ohio State's able to get some of those East Coast guys down from and get them to Columbus, I think Ryan Day and some of the people that are around that are from that region and of the country really connect with them. So I'll be fascinated to see what Makai thinks coming out of it. But yeah, circling all the way back to Eli Johnson, he's been one of my favorites in the class. I wrote about him in my Guy story a couple weeks ago, one of my favorites in the class since we saw him at camp this summer. And it's weird. There's a lot of situations where we have these guys in camp and it's like, oh, we see them work out. We'll talk to them after. And it's kind of an interaction. And that's about really the extent of it. And it doesn't happen all the time. But Eli Johnson's one of the guys that like you see before camp and he comes up and introduces himself to you and tries to make conversation. And then he's like, I'm going to go dominate the camp real quick and we'll catch up afterwards. And that's what he does. So that's when we kind of, you and I or anybody in the recruiting industry kind of stamp it as the Ohio State kind of guy. Like, that's just kind of what the players that are in Columbus do. So that's why I think everybody's kind of on high alert as he comes back for this second visit, or third visit this year, and second, or first this season, third visit overall this year.
Yeah, he was on campus in March. He was on campus in June for the camp. It was the Buckeyes. That's when he got offered. He intended to make it for the Texas game, couldn't, and now he's here this weekend in Columbus, arriving Saturday. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because, you know, obviously the Buckeyes, they're not in a position right now where they're pushing for a lot of early commitments for the 27 class or 28 class, but those two names, Eli Johnson, and for some reason, Mick, I have this like vibe about George Parkinson. Like, he's, to me, he's, I look at the photos of the kid and I'm like, oh, that's a Buckeye. I don't know why. He looks like, just looks like one. I'm not saying that he's going to commit or do anything crazy this weekend, but I have this like weird feeling that he could be one of those early commitments. And especially with Jameer Weish already committed in the class of 28, maybe you're more willing to start building a class than you used to be because you can find ways to keep people locked in now for longer. And it'll be an interesting weekend for him. Eli Johnson is certainly one that people need to know though, heading into this weekend. And because I think that, again, the commitment prediction machines, the recruiting prediction machines, the crystal balls, the future casts, all those things, like, they don't happen on accident. Like, especially, yeah, I mean, Steve Wolfong has said repeatedly that he likes to use that prediction machine as like a pulse on the recruitment at that moment. That's not typically, like, for Sam Spiegelman, who covers Texas specifically, that's not something he normally does. The opportunity then to for him to put in a prediction for Eli Johnson ahead of the weekend visit is telling. Obviously, we're already talking about the Brody McNeil conversation. We're talking about Quentin Cypher and the decision that he could be making in the next couple of weeks after he visits Georgia this weekend. Then you've got Brock Williams committing in the next month. All of a sudden, the 27 class could really start to take off for Ohio State.
It'll just be fascinating because not last year they went into it. I believe they had three or four commitments heading into the spring, and that's when you get Max Riley, Sam Gurry, and you start spiraling down and like adding commitments. But we haven't really seen this like a situation like this where you have Brock Williams that wants to get in early. I think honestly, David Gabriel Georges probably won't get to a situation where he wants to drag this out through official visits and very long. He's just not that type of kid. And then we talked about a lot of those offensive line commits, like talking to Reed Ramsey on Thursday afternoon. It's like, hey, when do you think you'll commit? He goes, I don't know. Maybe I'll get to some spring visits and figure it out. And when most of the time when guys start saying a time like that, it usually comes a couple weeks or a month or so earlier than what they're thinking. So that's another one that could happen this winter, like whether that's Ohio State or Alabama. It just, I think, I don't know if it's NIL stuff. I don't know if it's relationships. I don't, like, this whole recruiting process just continues to get more and more sped up. And I think overall, that's kind of a positive thing for Ohio State, because they've done a really good job of getting ahead and building these relationships.
Well, a lot of people have been wondering, like, when does that national championship bounce happen? And it really did not occur in the 26 class, but I think you are seeing it start to develop in the 27 cycle. But I also think it's just a matter of these kids understanding that money is everywhere. Like, they're going to get paid no matter where they go. But as you look around college football, and I keep bringing up this point, but like, as you see all of the chaos everywhere else, as you see all these other programs, and then just at the top of the mountain in their house built on solid foundation is Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, et cetera. And like, those teams are just going to continue to pile up talent. You know, right now, Ohio State has five commitments in the class of 2027. But I think that by a month from now, you could see, as I said, Eli Johnson, Brody McNeil, maybe Reed Ramsey, Quentin Cypher, Brock Williams. You could see this class swell to double the size and have double-digit commitments in the class of 2027 by the time the early signing period happens for the 26 class, which is a very rare number for Ohio State to be at that early. So it's something that I don't know if it's related to the NIL. I don't know if it's related to the national championship. I don't know if it's related to everyone else around the country falling apart while Ohio State continues to stand tall. But it certainly seems like the 27 class has a chance to get really rocking and rolling, or Brock and rolling in the short future.
And then even building into like 28, you have a commitment there with Jameer Weish.
You have two commitments.
two commitments. My apologies. Elijah Hall, who is on campus, Jameer Weiss, I imagine, will also be on campus again this weekend. There's a lot of momentum building there, and I bring 28 up because I want to mention one other name on the visitors list just so I can kind of make Berm feel old. There is a 2028 wide receiver from Texas coming up by the name of Jalen Adai. Would you have any guess on who his father would be, Berm?
I mean, I would assume it was Joseph Adai, the former running back for the Indianapolis Colts, but...
That is correct. So just to make you feel old, to get people... So that's a class with Marvin Harrison Jr.'s younger brother and Jet Harrison, a class with now maybe Jalen Adai becomes a target. Like, it's funny to see the legacies and the NFL legacies, which Ohio State's done really well with under Ryan Hartline, keep popping up at those wide receiver spots so they can kind of take advantage of it. Two other wide receivers we'll mention because we didn't talk about it. Javian Robinson from McKeesport is another name I've told will probably be on campus. McKeesport, same school as Keymon Spell. I don't know if Ohio State will offer this weekend, but that's just another guy that kind of keep an eye on. And then staying in Minnesota, David Mack, I believe it. Let me double check. David Mack is the name that I was told that Ohio State's a big fan of, or at least there are some fans of him in Ohio State or in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. So I don't know if he gets an offer or something, but maybe he's another one of those guys that we've talked about before. You look at it for that fourth or fifth wide receiver spot if you can get some of these top targets.
Yeah, I mean, it's a busy weekend, man. Ohio State is not slowing down. The recruiting stuff is only picking up. We are talking stuff about it on 97.1 The Fan. That's what we do. We're going to try to do this every week, especially when the Buckeyes have home games, because there's just so much conversation to be had. I appreciate Mick Walker from Letterman Row joining me once again to break it all down for you here on 97.1 The Fan. If you're watching this, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, and you know, set that notification so that when new content drops, you get it right away. If you're just listening to us on your Spotify or your Apple Podcasts or your Roku or your whatever else, thank you. But also leave reviews, leave 5-star reviews, because that really helps. Thanks for watching, everyone. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Ohio State, UCLA, primetime, and big time news probably popping on the recruiting front multiple times over the next couple weeks, because that's what the season we're in is about. So thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena, featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.